Okay, chapter 22 of Acts this morning goes on to say this with verse 1. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now to you. And when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew tongue, he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence, and he said, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Sicily, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God as you are this day. And I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering unto prisons both men and women, as also the high priest both bear me witness in all the estate of the elders, from whom I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were bound into Jerusalem to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus, about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me, and I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spoke to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told to you of all the things which are appointed for you to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came to Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came to me and stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And the same hour I looked upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers has chosen you, that you shouldest know his will, and see the just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For you shall be his witness unto all men that you of what you have seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. And I saw him saying to me, Make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on you. And when the blood of the martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said to me, Depart, for I will send you far hence into the Gentiles. And they gave him audience unto his word, and then lifted up their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle, and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said to the centurion that stood by, Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? And when the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, Take heed that what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. Then the chief captain came and said to him, Tell me, art thou a Roman? And he said, Yea. And the chief captain answered, With a great sum of I obtained this freedom. And Paul said, But I was free born a Roman. Then straightway he departed from him, which should have examined him. And the chief captain also was afraid, after he knew that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him. On the morrow, because he would have known the certainty wherefore he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear, and brought Paul down and set him before them. Let's go back and start from the beginning now. Paul is trying to make his defense. Now, Paul made his defense, and what is it going to teach you about your life about making a defense? Okay. Paul was doing something God wanted him to do, I respect Paul tremendously. He's the first one after Jesus to walk it out. Paul was doing what God wanted him to do, so how can you judge Paul for what he did? If he did it right or wrong, what's it to you? If God told him to do it, what is it to us? It's none of our concern, is it? But see, the battle's the Lord's. Paul was told that he was going to speak before kings. He hadn't done it yet, had he? So was he totally trusting God or what? God let him be put in this position to see where his faith was at. And this is about faith, isn't it? In God and in the God that's within us. And Paul kind of slipped down a little bit on this because he defended himself and he found out something. See, Paul learned this and he never had to defend himself again. When you find out defending yourself doesn't bring about anything. Brings no good fruit, does it? So watch what he does. He said, "Men and brethren, hear my defense to you, now to you." And when they heard that he spoke in not literally, which was the Hebrew tongue, but the Chaldean to them, they kept the more silence. And he said, "I am truly a man, a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Sicily, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel." And guess what Gamaliel means? My recompense is of God. My recompense is God. So everything I do, my reward is what? God. How about positive or negative? If I do good or bad, what? Still God. Still God. "And I was taught according to the perfect manner or the exactness of the law of Moses, of our fathers, and was zealous toward God as you are this day." He's saying, "Hey, look, I am just as zealous as you was at one time in what you're doing. But now something's changed." And this is what he's trying to convey to them. He's trying to convey to people who are yet carnal the spiritual understanding. Okay? "And I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering to the prisons both men and women, as also the high priest does bear me witness in all the body of the elders," that's the Sanhedrin, "from whom also I received letters to the brethren and went to Damascus to bring them which were bound to Jerusalem to be punished." See, Paul was into this. He thought he was doing a good thing. He was helping God. God does not need volunteers, does he? God knows who he wants and he'll get you when he's ready. So all this foolishness that the church tries to teach us about you got to go out and try to save somebody is all foolishness. Okay? And verse 6 goes on and says, "And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come near to Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from the sky a great light round about me." It's the word Uranus. It's about heaven. Everybody says from heaven, see? And that's a concept. They all think that anything coming from God has to come from what direction? From up. It's talking about a realm of God that it came from. This light, I don't even really know if this light was external or not. I believe the light was internal that he saw. Because that's where God's at. See, but everybody thinks that God comes from external, but I think the light came from inside himself and blinded the natural man that he was. He was still a natural man. Although he had fulfilled everything the law said, he still wasn't a spiritual man yet, was he? He hadn't walked into that realm yet. It wasn't time. And he said, "I fell to the ground," okay, and heard a voice saying to me, "Saul, Saul." Let me show you something. It says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" The word "why" isn't there. It's "Saul, Saul who persecutes me" is what it should say. See the difference in what he said? It's not "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" It's "Saul who persecutes me. I'm talking to the Saul who is persecuting me." You get the understanding of it now? Yeah, I'm talking to that Saul that persecuted me. Who is that Saul that persecuted him? Me. You. We all persecuted Christ in our own way, haven't we? Whether we believe it or not, we did. "And I responded, 'Who are you, Lord?'" Why did he say, "Who are you, Lord?" You know why he knew who he was? Because he had met him before. You know where he met him? At Stephen's stoning. He'll come up and tell you that in a minute. He met him at Stephen's stoning when he saw him seeing the Son seated at the right hand of the Father. And he said he's seen a man go into the third heaven, as it says in Corinthians. That was what helped his conversion. Right here is what brought him about. He knew who it was that he saw. He knew what he heard came from the same source that Stephen was connected to. Do you hear me? He knew it was the same source. And he said to me, I am Jesus, not of Nazareth, but Jesus the Nazarene, whom thou persecutest. Now, if I can remember what this word is, see if I can find it. Just a second. Bear with me just for a minute. Lois, look up that word right there. No, the Nazarene. Nazareth. What's it say? There you go. That's what I was looking for. What does it mean? I am Jesus, the one that's been separated. Nazareth means the one that's been separated. Jesus said, I am the one that's been separated. God chose me and separated me from everybody else to be the first. Okay? Whom you persecute. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spoke to me. Okay. Until you have the ears to hear from God, you can't hear what the Spirit's saying, can you? You can only hear what the natural ear can pick up. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, stand up and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told you concerning all things which are appointed for you to do. Now, the King James is good about saying, arise. It sounds real spiritual, don't it? The language says, stand up. Be a man. Just because something happened to you and changed your course, don't be laying back there whining and crying. Get up and act like a man. Go on and do what I'm telling you to do. God doesn't call babies to do a man's work, does he? He calls an adult to do an adult's work. So when he speaks to you, he's calling you to do a work. He's not talking to a baby, is he? Babies don't do that work. And he said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, arise and go to Damascus, where it shall be told you concerning all the things which are appointed for you to do. And when I could not see, because of the glory of that light, being led by the hand by them that were with me, I came to Damascus. And one Ananias, and his name means what? Whom Yahweh has graciously given. So God graciously gave Ananias to Paul to bring a message. A devout man according to the law. What law was he talking about? The law of Moses. This is a man under the law of Moses, but yet God was in control of him, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there. So he was a good religious man. Okay? He came to me and stood and said to me, Brother Saul, not receive, but recover. The word is recover. Okay? Recover your sight. Why did he say recover it for? He had it once before and he got it back. So he recovered his sight. And the same moment, not hour, but in the same moment, I looked to him. He said, as soon as he said that, I looked to him and I had my sight back. And he said, the God of your fathers has chosen you. Now, I want to show you a couple words in this verse you got to knock out because it brings doubt to things, okay? The word shouldest in there twice should be marked out. And I'm going to read it without the word shouldest in there, okay? Because it's a doubtful word. It's not in the language anyway. And he said, the God of your fathers has chosen you that you know his will. Not that you should, or maybe you will. But he chose you that you know his will. You're the one he's going to impart his will into. And see the just one. He said, you're not only going to have his will, but you're going to see the holy one, the just one, the righteous one. And you're going to hear the voice of his mouth. Now, do you think everybody hears the voice of God? No. It's ones that God have chosen right now. I'm not slicing or dicing the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the ones that truly hear God's voice. When I walked in my Passover experience, I thought I heard God. When I walked in my Pentecostal experience, I was sure I heard God. But you know what? When I came to Tabernacles, now I know I hear God, because God don't talk like a man. God tell you the way it is, straight up. He don't water anything down. Men water things down and change things to get their own agenda because they're worried about offending people. Jesus said in the Gospels, offenses must come. The word must come, it says it's necessary. It's very binding. We have to have these offenses so we can understand what's wrong with us. If I'm never offended, will I ever change? No. It's necessary. These things have to come to pass. So he said, it's necessary that you hear the voice of his mouth. And until you hear it, another example I want to give you. If he was speaking to everybody in the world, if he wasn't speaking specifically to Lazarus, when he said, Lazarus, come forth, if he just said, come forth, who would have came up? All the dead bodies would have come out of antiquity. All would have came back. But he said, Lazarus, he was very specific in who he spoke to. Just like when he's speaking to the ones that have ears, the only ones that can hear. Every man in his own order. Verse 15 goes on, because you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. You know what? Paul hadn't seen and heard anything yet. He'd gone to, I guarantee you. And now, why do you hesitate? It says, why tarry? He said, why do you hesitate? It's what the language literally says. Stand up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. That's what it should say. Calling on his name. And it came to pass. Now when it says calling on his name, I want to wipe something out of your mind because this is a wrong concept. When we say calling on his name, it's not laying down the floor screaming, oh Jesus or oh God. Calling upon his nature and character. Relying on his nature and character. Do you hear me? Relying on the nature and character of God that is within you. That's how you get it taken care of. That's how you wash it away. By applying the blood to your life, by living the life that he lived. Okay? And it came to pass that when I was come to Jerusalem, again to Jerusalem, even while I worshipped, okay, in the temple, I was in a trance. This word for trance is literally not exactly what it should be. It's the word ecstasis. 1611 is the Strong's number in the Greek. It means ecstasy. While I worshipped in the temple, I was in ecstasy. You know what happens when you worship God in your temple? You're in ecstasy. When you worship God in your temple, you're in ecstasy. Okay? And I saw him saying to me, who did he see? Who did Paul see in this verse? He said, I saw him. He saw the Christ saying to him, make haste and get you out. Didn't this man just come and prophesy, said, you'll see the Holy and Just One? Correct? He said, make haste and get you out of Jerusalem because they will not receive your testimony concerning me. Who? Christ. See? They're not going to hear it. If they're not going to hear it, why waste your time? I've had experiences where I was asked to minister in a crowd of people, great big crowds of people, and when I stood before them, I saw their face look like an Amish doll, no identity. I could see God was showing me. They had no ability to hear what I was going to say. So I called the pastor of the church and handed him back the microphone, and I said, I don't want to hurt nobody. Here, you preach. Because they couldn't hear me. All I'd done was made them mad. And that's what you have to do. You have to use your discernment. No, there's a time to speak and a time to be silent. There's a time when you just don't press the issues. And there's times when God will have you press the issue. But when you can tell that no one's going to hear you, I don't need exercise bumping my gums together. I really don't. I've done it enough. Or banging my head against the wall is another analogy of it. There's no sense doing it. I mean, I know how to speak and I know how to hear. And when I hear God say, shut up, that's what I'll do. But until that time, I'm going to talk. Okay? And he said, and I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue, them that believe me. And when the blood of the martyr Stephen, see, here we go back to Stephen shed, I was also standing by, consenting to his death, and kept the raiment of them that murdered him. He knew what it was. They said slew him. It sounds better than murdered, I guess they think. And he said to me, depart, because I will send you far from here to the Gentiles or the pagans. Now, Paul realized they wouldn't hear him. God knew they wouldn't hear him because they had saw him persecuting the Christians, and now he says he's one of them. Do you think they believe him? I guarantee you the Christians didn't believe him. The men and women of God didn't believe him because of the fear that he had imparted in them. And I guarantee you the Jews didn't believe him. He wasn't accepted anywhere, was he? That's exactly where you walk as a man or woman of God. You're not accepted of anybody. Didn't the Bible call us aliens? Doesn't the Bible call us aliens? Sojourners in the land, we're passing through. They don't trust us. We're different from them, so they fear us. And they gave him audience to his word, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, because it is not fit that he should live. See there? They're not going to hear you, are they? Church folk won't hear you. It's true sons of God that's going to hear, but the rest of them's not going to hear you. And as they cried out and cast off their outer garments and threw dust into the air, the captain or the colonel, the head captain, commanded him to be brought into the castle or the barracks, and said that he should be examined by scourging, that he, and cross out the might, that he acknowledge, see, he was going to scourge him, not to learn. And the King James says this, they scourged him so that he could know why he was charged, what he was being charged with. He scourged him so that Paul would say what his crime was. He was trying to beat a confession out of him, kind of like some of our police officers do today. They'll beat a confession out of you if you don't give it to them. Church will do the same thing to you. They'll beat you to death with their tongues. That he not might acknowledge, but he acknowledged wherefore they cried so against him. And as they bound him with straps, Paul said to the centurion, okay, that stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman without a legal trial? Ooh. He's laying back on his natural self, said, hey, wait a minute. I got some natural rights here, and you violated them. He knew the law of the land. And when the centurion heard, he went and told the colonel, really what I should say, saying, take heed what you do, because this man is a Roman. Then the colonel came and said to him, tell me, are you a Roman? He said, yep, I'm a Roman. And the colonel responded, with a great sum or a great amount of money obtained I this freedom, or this citizenship is what he should say. He said, with a great amount of money I bought my citizenship. And Paul said, but I was born a Roman. Where it says the word free shouldn't be there. I was born a Roman is what it should say. Paul said, I was born this way. This man is talking about a natural thing. What's Paul talking about? He was born natural, but that's also he was born spiritually. You can't, didn't the book say you can't buy this from God? Money can't buy it? Then immediately they departed from him which was about to examine him, and the colonel was also afraid because he knew that he was a Roman and because he had bound him. He'd overstepped his rights. And on the morrow, because he would have known the certainty wherefore he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands and commanded the priests and the Sanhedrin council to appear or assemble, and brought Paul down and set him before them. So next week we'll get into what goes on in the council. And I don't know if you've ever been before the council. I have. I've been drug in a few times. But it's okay. It's okay. And we learn from that. Okay? There's learning processes. Everything that Paul did was to teach us something. Correct? It was all something there for a reason. It's not a historical book. This is to teach us something, how to walk our lives. And Paul made some defense. But once you make your defense, you're going to learn it really didn't accomplish much. Okay? Because they're not really going to hear you. And we'll find out really that the man who set him aside, all he really kept him there for was hoping to get some money out of him. He wanted him to pay him a bribe. And Paul never did it. It's a process. Any questions?